Australian Bible Church, a Presbyterian church. Christ, without qualification, without compromise, and the Bible without qualification. Today, Isaiah 31, verses 1 to 3. Flesh, spirit, what is the priority? Spirit and not flesh, that's the priority. The term flesh is used in two basic ways in Scripture. One, it refers to the physical facts, protoplasm, what you can handle, flesh. The other is a derogative term. It means man seen as apart from God, man with a declaration of independence from God in his mouth. The sort of man that led to the flood. Imagination's only evil always from their youth up is the concept. But the flesh, of course, can be used for a state of mind. Independence from God. Doing what you want. Having what you please. And in our text, we read this. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. We need to look at the situation then first. The situation is this. Israel was menaced by larger neighbors. One of them, Assyria, had been of tremendous danger. In fact, it was only by a colossal miracle in which the Lord slaughtered the Assyrian army that they were delivered at all in the time of the good King Hezekiah. But there was a sneaking desire, not just to trust in God, who had given them victories, the deliverances, overcomings, triumphs almost without number. There was this sneaking feeling to trust in the flesh, to mess up the money, or the temple, or the this, or the that, until there's something else that you can handle, that you can touch, that you can rely on. Something to bolster you up, so that you won't need to be really trusting in God. You'll have that sitting there. You're really relying on it. That's what they did with Egypt. Israel was trying for diplomatic relations with Egypt, was applying for help, that Israel, that Egypt would come to their assistance. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for assistance, for their help. Woe to those who look to the things of this world for their ultimate security and for their real hope when a crisis comes. Woe to those, says our text, who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses. We might say nowadays, on aircraft, on rockets. It doesn't mean that you don't do sensible things. It means that your trust is not there. And who trust in chariots because they are many. We might say tanks. And in horsemen because they are very strong. But who do not look to the Holy One of Israel? Now, of course, all that has been focused and centered and brought to culmination in Christ. Nor seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring disaster. Looking to the flesh will not help in the end. And if you avert the eyes of your faith and hope from the Lord Jesus Christ, and trust in the people of, the ways of, the culture of, the powers in this world, you are asking for it. How often you see something great, and after it's had its withering time, when it looked to the flesh instead of the Lord, it became a great fall. He will not call back his Lord, his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers. You can't serve two masters. The flesh has to be in that second sense of moving independently of the Lord in a crisis. You have to realize that. Now, the Egyptians are men. All the help that you can get, that I can get, that anyone can get, all the help comes only from the Lord. A tiny mistake. And what happens? Look at the Challenger. Look at that wonderful rocket. I think it was Madeleine Murray who was taking off, a teacher. She was going to represent the children of America. They were going to go to the moon, if I recall, and this aircraft, this rocket, at any rate, to wherever it was going, she was going to represent, I think it was the moon, the children. Because of O-rings, some relatively minor component of one of its propulsive systems, because those O-rings were not correct, the whole thing failed. Hundreds of millions of dollars were lost. The space race had a huge setback. The Bible clearly says in Psalm 115 that the heavens are the Lord's and the earth is given to man. Space races and all the rest of it. You can do it. But it's not what the Lord has indicated. There are limits to all things for men and nations. And if the moon is going to be used, which is very much in thought at the time, at this time, as a space station of great stability and area, for more weapons in more ways than using the backside of the moon, which is not facing the earth and is, in a sense, hidden up to a point. All these things, new methods of ghastly horrors. The Egyptians are men. The flesh, in this sense, is an alternative to truth. You will not find in this world any attention to truth. When I had a post lecturing at one stage, I said to them, it's not a tertiary education place supposed to be seeking the truth. She said, no, it's not convenient. It is not convenient. I refused absolutely to conform to their cutting out of parts of the relevant material as I was doing, having to do with God, having to do with creation. It was no great lecture. It was just a reference. No more of that. Well, naturally, I am not going to sell my tongue for my stomach. I'm not going to sell what God has given me to speak with so that I can have an income. And so I left. The Egyptians are men and not God. Years later, the thing became in a major part in the paper, that issue. Should the university seek truth? And so forth. It became a real issue. But of course, pragmatism always has this little pour out. You might lose students if you do this, and so on. But the issue was at least coming up for examination. The Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. Don't trust in rockets. Let unchristian nations do that. Don't trust in nuclear subs. Trust in the Lord. That doesn't mean that you do not take normal methods of protection, but it does mean that where your trust is in the Lord, you do not put your reliance on that and say, this will save us. Maybe it will, as in Dunkirk. Dunkirk. A national day of prayer. National, I repeat, day. Prayer, I repeat, doesn't sound likely, does it? But it was then, and it happened. And Dunkirk came. Hitler paused. He didn't want to have war with England. He didn't go rushing into Dunkirk, which might have destroyed the whole operation. And as he paused, there was applause, because the 300,000 or so British soldiers were able to be delivered, and were, to a very large extent. These people are men and not God. They're horses, they're rockets, they're submarines, they're lacerations, they're invasions, they're hatreds of one another. Their horses are flesh, not spirit. Normally you hear them saying, these are the things which we recommend. Oh, don't talk about religion, it only divides. Of course it divides. Sheep are not goats, and goats are not sheep. People filled with a desire to rule the world, own the universe, own their souls, contest with others, hate what resists them. That's flesh. When the Lord stretches out his hand, our text, both he who helps will fall and he who is helped will fall. They'll fall together. Poor old Europe. But we'll come to that later, how it fell after World War II. Victory, but triumph readily weeping its way out. Both he who helps will fall and he who is helped will fall. They will all perish together. So we've been looking at, first of all, the situation regarding Egypt. Secondly, at the error that was made, and have been looking at it in terms of the Challenger rocket as an example. The error is summed up pretty well in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32. Verse 21. I always love this one. We'll start at 18. I'll just read it. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful, God says to Israel, and have forgotten the God who fathered you. Isn't that what's happening to a lot of European nations? And when the Lord saw it, he spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. They sacrificed 17 to demons, not to God. To gods that they did not know. To new gods. New arrivals that your fathers didn't fear. Verse 21, they have provoked me to jealousy, that is using the term of a wife and adulteresses as an image. They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. I like that. There are two things, God and not God. That's it. What is not God? You can almost hyphenate it. what is not God, put in the place of what is God, is an infinite error. And it's being made freely amongst the warring, often cantankerous, foolish, misguided, endlessly eruptive, grasping aspects of so many of the nations. The way of peace they have not known. So we look at the everlasting distinction. The flesh and the spirit. Man has a spirit. That is so often forgotten these days. You have a personality. Psychology looks after that. You have personal relations. Sociology looks after that. You have a body. Biology looks after that. Though in its last analysis, it is incredibly ludicrous. Imagining intimately interconnected systems have somehow put themselves together so they can work as one with all technical specifications in order. You can't get things of this order moving like that. Chance doesn't produce law. Disorganization doesn't produce geometry. Bits don't produce systems. And cohesion isn't accomplished simply by nothing, the beginning of all this foolishness. Not God, whether it be in this or that or the other domain, academically and socially and throughout the world. There are two options. You can take it and live it. The Christian, I notice in Paul at one stage in 2 Corinthians 8, speaking of the Macedonians who had been sensitive to the physical, financial needs of some people in Judea, how they first gave themselves to God, then, as Christians of course must do, they began sending forth the collections, the gifts, to those in need, to those in the Christian sphere. The distribution, which is our duty for each one of us. They began doing all that. They're spiritually sensitive and practically active. It is the flesh which is to be disparaged, not glorified. Whether it be the nations, the persons, or the company, or anything else. We are all dependent upon God. For creation, to be here. And for preservation, to be meaningful. Oh, how much longing many have. Oh, if only I could have meaning. If only I could see what it's all about. Then they turn cynical. They turn sardonic. They begin to feel malicious. They begin to hate. They begin to worry. They begin to disturb. But no, there is no peace. The Egyptians, the flesh, the whole series of worrisome foolishness. These things are of men. These things are like horses, not flesh. These things are not to be desired. They are to be looked upon as conveniences sometimes, as important achievements sometimes. Certainly, they have their place sometimes, but never in God's place. Never as the basis of reliance. Never as the resource. And so we've been looking at the negative side of the everlasting distinction between men and flesh. Let's look a little more at the positive side. We have spirits to determine, to imagine, to conceive, to realize, to gain understanding, to impress our will and creativity on matter, which are building blocks which contribute building blocks, and to impress it on thought, mental building blocks, and in spiritual things, in intercommunication with others, and the expression of will and determination, or we cowardice, whichever. We have spirits. That spirit is overwhelmingly important. A spirit which gives you perspective, prioritization, to worship God in spirit and truth is first and cannot be disparaged, dismissed, or depreciated. It must be a reality of life, a truth of your experience and mine. But in this world, does it ask for the architect's plans for resolving its problems? No. Does it imagine that it was all made without the architect? Yes. Does it imagine that it was all made without a builder and without an owner? Does it imagine that it can get away with theft, first of all, of this world as if it had made it? It didn't make its intensively law-abiding nature, as you see in astronomy, for example, and the molecules of your body, for example, and in the atoms, for example. These didn't make themselves before they were there to do it. These were made by God when he saw fit, as Christ was sent when he saw fit, as the flood came. And as I look at geological things in pictures, as I do more and more, I'm staggered at the sheer ravaged ruin you see in Alps and mountains all throughout, in mountain ranges and systems, whether the Rockies down USA, Canada, or wherever else, in Switzerland or Austria or wherever else. You look at it with open eyes and see, this was ravaged. This, not only does it have shells on the top of mountains with the, when there were these huge earth movements associated with the flood and so on, but the whole place, you see paths, huge paths, massive valleys, cranky rocks, things splintered and smashed. And you just see the flood is attested everywhere. I always remember as a scientist in one of the Scandinavian countries, a specialist in this area once saying, it's enough. I'm not going to have it any longer. We've got huge sediments, vastly deep, with all sorts of mixtures of all sorts of fossils from all over the world, all mixed up. I cannot anymore believe in this sort of thing that just dismisses it. There has been a flood, there has been this massive matter. I can no longer just pretend it's all little trickles and simples. The flood is a reality. Creation was a reality. The coming of Christ was a reality. And that man has a spirit is a reality. And that God is a spirit is a reality. And that God does have a day of judgment, this too is a reality. But God is massively kind, marvelously compassionate. He's able to forgive those who say, I am independent. I make my declaration of independence. He's able to forgive them. So they're able to make a declaration of dependence instead. They're able to make an affirmation of dependence on the Lord. There is this positive, therefore, side. Wait upon the Lord, says the scripture. This is part of it. In our spirits, patience and hope and faith all mixed together, as in a cake. All these things are to move together massively so that the Lord might be found, so that there might be a cheerfulness, a rejoicing, an intense internal peaceability that doesn't respond easily to provocation. Long suffering, goodness, reliability, spiritual things. Walking with God closely, not suddenly moving. Where ease and simplicity is present and God isn't. But don't worry about it. We've got to do it. I remember a person of a certain race who'd been lying to us, lying enormously, systematically, saying to my wife, "But you see, Mrs. Donaldson, I had to do it. I had to do it." What a song. Long-term systematic lying. I had to do it. Why? Well, circumstances. Circumstances are not king, are not the Lord of glory. Never submit to circumstances. They are a test and a challenge. They may be delicious. They may be horrendous. They may be challenging. They may be ruinous. Never submit to them. Just as I refuse to submit to these instructions. Cut this out. No. You can cut me out. I'll not. Let's just look at a matter that happened during the last war. Churchill called Hitler that bad man, and so he was. He was determined that his regime should be destroyed. Very good. But he concentrated on Hitler. The main thing is, the thing which is there is, get rid of it. Mistake. That was a very important thing. It was great that he did it. He was a great man. But it wasn't the only important thing to get rid of. Russia was just as bad. I shouldn't say Russia there. I should have said the USSR. It was just as bad. To both of them, millions of deaths are attributed. Tortures unlimited, almost. A murderer, a mass murderer, was taken on board. And together, of course, they beat Hitler. It was a good thing. But it was not a good thing that the USSR then occupied Europe, took over East Germany, took away their rolling stock, made itself great with its foolish atheism, using all the power of America and having an Atlantic Charter, which was in word, but what about deed? What about all that was taken over of Europe? What about the Cold War? What about the stealing of the atomic secrets? What about communism and getting power and a place, a permanent place? They paid. They're still paying. It spread. It's had this improper elevation because the Allies took a mass murderer on board and his mass murdering system. Flesh! You say, but it was understandable. It was terrible. If Hitler had won, true, 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 all very true. It was an impressive, a challenging, a colossal effort, and a marvelous thing that they won. But they lost spiritually in cohering with Egypt, if you understand now. That was their Egypt. They went down to Egypt. God's power would have been quite adequate. The atomic bomb was quite useful. God would have had his own methods. No, you can't. It's impossible. Nothing with God shall be called impossible. And I'd like to leave you now with a thought. Imagine a soldier fighting. He's got lost. There are trenches and troubles in all directions. It's night time. Some of his friends have been killed. He's in shock. He's wandering around. He meets somebody. I've lost my battalion. I don't know where they are. Oh. And he's instructed. But imagine if he'd been told, you're fighting in the wrong war. Imagine if the soldier suddenly finds he's where he shouldn't be. He's fighting in the wrong war. That is precisely what is done by millions. They fight the wrong war. It is not wrong to fight to protect your country. But when your whole life's first war is something, especially a war that is not to defend your country, the question is, are you fighting the wrong war? Ephesians 6 speaks about this. Six ten. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Not your own or your company's or your nation's. By all means, be patriotic for what is good. But above all, rely on the reliable one. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the cunning, the tricks, the deviousness of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not the ultimate. That's not the final. That's not the massive matter that you should be engaged with. We wrestle against principalities. Important national, international, spiritual, moral agencies and powers. In heaven and on earth. Those like the devil cast out of heaven. Like lightning, Christ said. But with great representation on earth. But we wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. An age of darkness. Not of the rule by Christ, but the rule by evil, flesh, spite, hate, ambition, thrust, racial superiority, human superiority, everything but spiritual peace is involved. Throw it all in. Make a mixture. That's the war that we're engaged in. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Very often, you find where there should be peace, where there should be truth, there isn't. Take China, for example. There you had Roman Catholics, that's a heresy, of course. They have another teacher than Christ, strictly forbidden. They call someone an earth father, strictly forbidden in Matthew 23, 8 to 10. They are all wrong, but this was a further thing. The Pope allowed the communists, atheists, to choose the bishops in China on the ground that the Chinese government had raised the living standards in China, though, of course, not to where Taiwan is. But he didn't mention that. And so they were surrendered. They were to have Chinese atheists choose bishops for their so-called church. Principalities, powers, the rulers of this age. What an abandonment. But Christ will never abandon us. Christ will never capitulate to convenience or confuse the flesh with the spirit. And let me conclude in Isaiah 31, where we started. Woe to those who go down to Egypt to the flesh, to Egypt for help, and rely on horses and trust in chariots because there are many. Verse 2, yet God also is wise and will bring disaster. God knows what belongs to disaster and what disaster and to what disaster belongs. He will arise. God is even able and makes it clear from time to time to cause the disaster as a corrective motion for something worse than life could possibly be contemplated to be. He removes it as in the flood. It can go no further. The Egyptians are men and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. What's opposing your whole life in Christ is flesh, not spirit. The rules of this world, the cultures of this world. Both he that is helped and he who helps will fall. They will perish together. Put on, therefore, the whole armor of God and rejoice to do it. Rejoice to follow the leadings of God's Spirit in accordance with God's Word in God's time, patiently waiting for all that is to be done. What a thrill to be here. I love to be here. Never think of abandoning life. Life, I am here because God wants me here. I rejoice every day. Marvelous, God's put me here. I must fulfill what he wants me to do. What a thrill to be alive. How sacred it is, this life. How wonderful is its giver. Amen. Our Father, how we thank thee that you are not flesh, but spirit. That we are not to trust in Egypt, as it was in that term, in those terms of analogy. Not to trust in the flesh. Not to trust in the nations, in the cultures, in the ways, in the philosophies of this world. We thank thee that our trust and love and cherishing is in thee. We thank thee for it. Help us to love thee with all our hearts and souls and minds and strength. For Jesus' sake, amen.